young people need to have a platform as well as the older people. Amen. And I can't think of a better song than Take Me to the King. Lord, I don't have much to give. But there's nothing wrong with laying before God's throne. Amen. Just to receive some grace and mercy from God. Hallelujah. I'm going to ask you to stand for our scripture reading, which we're going to read from 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 3 to 12, and then Job chapter 17, verse 9. Amen. We are honored to have the Lord, honored to be with the Lord today. Thank God for my wife being here. Amen. And thank God that, you know, he said, behind every successful man, I'm not telling myself a good man. Amen. But if we're going in the right direction, behind every successful man, there has to be a what?
Yeah.
afternoon. And we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for your goodness. Lord, we thank you for being a personal Savior. Lord, we thank you for being our help in a time of need. Lord, we thank you that your ears, the word listens, though it's ever open to the prayers of the righteous. Lord, as we stand as a congregation before thee, Lord, we ask you for thy anointing. Lord, we ask you for blessings. Lord, we ask you to give us the ear to hear what the Spirit would say unto the church. And Lord, we ask you to speak this afternoon for thy servant here. That can we all say in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Young Timothy gave him some instructions. Amen. I'm going to read a few of them because it's important that we follow after godliness. It's important in this world that we live in, with full of challenges, that we follow after godliness, because he wrote to Timothy. He said, "Godliness was what? Is what? That even in the church." Amen. A lot of people are godly, but they don't have any. Can I get some help? I said a lot of people claim to be godly, but they don't have contentment. Amen. The word of God is true, and whatever God says is final. So he says, godliness with is not just ordinary. Amen. So I don't know this afternoon what we may be experiencing, but say God.
God.
I said stay God.
Amen.
And even if it feels like the bottom has fallen out, be content.
Right.
Amen. Show God a grief. Because when I look around, hallelujah, and I look out in the Midwest in Oklahoma City, and I see where the tornadoes have gone through. Amen. And then I see all of the catastrophes that are happening everywhere.
Come on,
Lord, he's been good. How many know he's been good? Lord, so I can't help but be content. Amen. Paul said, I've learned how to be full, and I've learned how to be hungry. He said, I've learned how to have, and I've learned how to suffer need. Amen. But the most important thing is I've learned to give God thanks. Hallelujah. How many need to thank God? Lord, I don't understand where I'm at, what's happening, but I still thank you anyhow. Hallelujah. So Paul writes to Timothy, let's start off again in verse 3. He writes, amen. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to the words of our Lord Jesus Christ and to the which is according to there's a whole lot of doctrine. Amen. Is that everything? But is it according to godliness? Amen. He is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strife of words. Whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, and be careful when you meet someone. This means they're evil, always suspicious in the evil way. Amen. Not too long ago, we went over it in Titus. The Word of God says, unto the pure, all things are
pure.
When somebody is truly saved, when they got the Holy Ghost down in their heart, amen. When people wrote them, they see beyond the people. And they still see God. Like I tell you all the time, my mom, I was talking to, my mom passed away in 2000, but she's still a part of me today. Amen. My mom played an instrumental part of me being saved. Since I was a child, I was a child, she taught me about God. Amen. But I was telling my wife the other day that I had some situations, and I know I made my mom mad and embarrassed her sometimes. And she was, I'm not going to tell y'all my nickname because y'all don't need to know nicknames. Just keep it clean, right? You don't need to know the nickname. Who wants to know? I'm not going to tell you. Amen. But my mom, you know, I made her mad some sometimes, you know, sometimes she said, you know, I'm just going to put you in God's hand. There were one particular situation that really made her mad. And not mad, I always say mad and disappointed, because I wasn't listening to what she was saying. And she was telling me right, but what she didn't understand is that it wasn't really what it looked like. Amen. But I was in a situation with someone, and it wasn't what she thought it was. But I wanted to help them along the way. So after she finished telling me what I should do and what I shouldn't do, the next day my mom came back to me. Amen. And my mom said to me, she said, you don't want to know what this problem is. I ain't gonna tell you. Wait for me to spill it out. I'm gonna keep your attention. I might get in trouble a little later with this story. But my mom thought about the situation. You know, that's why sometimes after you do something that's good to what? Think about it. Amen. Because everything we do is not always right. It is not always perfect before God. So the next day, my mom came back to me and she said, son, I'm proud of you. Yeah, she just finished. Tear me up. Amen. I'm going to tell you the situation. I was freshman in high school, and I had a girlfriend, but it wasn't really a girlfriend, it was his close friend. But the girl at 13 was pregnant. And the first time I took her to the house to meet my mom, you know, I'm being friendly, because there's nothing really behind this. But how many of you know back in the 70s, when you were a teenager out of wedlock, you were in disgrace. And nobody had anything to do with you. So we get in school and everybody would always go away from her. Nobody tried to encourage her, and I thought that was wrong. You know, she said, everybody said, well, you made your bed hard, now you got to lay in it. So I said, well, you know what, I'll be a friend beyond. So, you know, now when you're 14 or 13, you go around with another 13-year-old and they got a big belly, that's kind of embarrassing. So my mom said, is that your child? I said, absolutely not. No, ma'am, that's my child. She said, well, why are you tugging this girl all over the place and introducing her to people? She said, that makes you look bad. And so I said, mom, you don't understand. It's not that kind of like a love kind of relationship, but it was a friendship type of relationship. I said, right now, she doesn't have anybody but me. So I tried to encourage her. And my mom said, you brought her here. You got all of our friends and everybody here. She said, do you know how embarrassing that was? I said, yeah, embarrassing for me too. But she said, well, you need to make some decisions. You know, because as long as you're with her, you're going to always have that suspicion. And you know, like I said, back in the 70s, when you were out of wedlock and pregnant, nobody. Amen. All they did around school was talk about it. It was bad. I said, some of the girls said, well, why are you with her when all of us like you? I said, because she needs me. You know, and sometimes in life, you got to look beyond the crowd. Amen. This is how my mom, like I said, she thought about it. Then the next day, my mom came back to me. She said, son, I'm proud of you. You know, I just got in all this trouble and embarrassment. I guess it was the heat of the moment because all of her people were there and then lost the stomach. But she said this to me, and it always left an impression in my mind when it comes to dealing with people. She says, son, I'm proud of you. She said, because I got two daughters. She said, if they ever wind up in that particular condition, she said, I pray there will be another person like you.
Amen.
Jesus.
So I'm saying, I've learned through the years. You got to watch those people with that evil surmising. Always suspicious in the evil way. Because I learned that when you're pure, you know, people don't always understand why you do what you do. Amen. But I can have faith to move mountains. But if I have not charity, it profited me.
No.
Amen. I can understand all the But if I don't have charity, it profits me. I can give my body to be burned. Lord, thank you. But if I don't have charity, it profits me. Charity is pure. So unto the pure, all things are pure. But if you got somebody with a suspicious mind, nothing you do will ever be right. Titus said, but unto the defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure. But even their minds and conscience is defiled. What I'm saying, let's be godly. How do you be godly? Let's do it God's way. Next verse reads, perverse spirit of men of the church. Amen. Brothers and sisters, we're supposed to encourage one another. I said we should encourage one another. This is not the world. When we come to church, we're not supposed to be always suspicious. Amen. Always trying to find out the motives why someone is doing what it's time to be real. When in church. Amen. Supposing that. Don't you know where I live or what I have? That don't mean nothing for God. This is not Israel, where your faith or your prosperity determines your position in God. So all that stuff you got don't mean nothing, hallelujah, if they don't have seen the God in you. You better look in your own, all that stuff. Everybody trying to get their stuff. I don't need no stuff. All I need is
Jesus.
I said I don't need no stuff. Songwriter said, Jesus is my everything. Amen. You know, sometimes on Sunday when I prepare, I like to go back to my Baptist days. So in the morning I get up real early. Hallelujah. How many need to be Baptist? Baptist too. And I just saw my little old. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'm on some of those little Baptist songs. Amen. Christ is Lord and all this world to me. I'm going to hit you with one that y'all probably don't know. I don't even know all the words to it because I was a little child and I used to hear my mom and my uncles and my aunts all singing this song. How many know the song that folks will come from everywhere, traveling over rocks and hills? They used to put up a tent because back in those days they didn't have money to have a building. So they put up a tent. He said, folks will come from everywhere, traveling over rocks and hills. He said, very little money was raised. Y'all know that? Very little money was raised. He said, but many of the souls were saved. God is with contentment. Amen. We need to go back sometimes and realize, you know what? Maybe I don't like where I am, but I'm better than where somebody else is. Amen. So it says, very little money was raised, but many of the souls were saved. You're talking about a good time. Oh, Lord. I ain't going to say it. Yes, sir. We used to have a. The church doesn't have a good time anymore. The church doesn't praise God the way that it should because we're too focusing on all of the stuff. And we've lost sight of the main reason that we're saved. And that is Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. You gotta have Jesus. Amen. Like I tell you all the time, my wife fusses with me all the time, but I'm not gonna tell you what she fusses at me about. But I keep a lot of stuff that's kind of outdated and worn out. Yes, I do. You know why? Because that stuff reminds me of where I came from. Amen. You say, don't you get embarrassed? No, because God has been good to me. I can have more, but that reminds me of where I on me about my stuff. I don't care about the stuff. Amen. As long as I got Jesus.
All right now.
I don't care about the house of land as long as I got Jesus. Amen. So godliness with contentment is what?
Great gain.
Great gain. Can you drop down to verse 11? This is why our message is going to come out verse 11. Amen. It says, no, go back to this one, because this is really important. If we want to be godly means we've got to do it whose way?
God's way.
Once again, to be godly, we have to do it who?
God's way.
God's way. Amen. We can presuppose and make up a whole lot of stuff. But the only way that we can be godly is we got to do it God's way. He said, but thou,
man of God.
How many of you in the city be a child of God? Well, there's some things that we need to flee. Amen. I heard Sister Lakia say she's lost some things that have gone. Even in our lives, there's some things that need to flee. But we need to follow after what makes you right in the sight of God. Hallelujah. Number one, have to be right in the sight of God. Godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. And Paul tells the Galatian church, verses 5, 22 through 23, about the fruit of the Spirit. He said that against these things there is, you can't do too much. Well, you want to be godly. You don't have to treat them to say, well, you act like you a this or you a fool. I'm just trying to be godly. So I do the right thing. Amen. Now let's go. It says, fight the
good fight.
Fight the
good fight.
Of what?
Faith.
Are you fighting this afternoon? The good fight. And lay hold on whereunto thou art. Our message this afternoon is hold on and be strong. Hallelujah. I don't know what you're going through this afternoon, but it's time to hold on. Paul said, I'm fighting a good fight. I'm keeping the faith. I'm not fighting a carnal battle. I'm not fighting with my mouth and words. Hallelujah. I borrow the words of the song. If I hold my peace and let the Lord, can I get some help? If I hold my peace and let the Lord fight my battles, victory shall be mine. Hallelujah. The problem with the church is we're trying to do some things that only God can do. But I encourage you, hold on. We read in Job. Job says, those that are upright, he says that the righteous are to hold on to their ways. How many need to hold on? You got to be righteous to hold on.
Amen.
When you're not right, your mind won't let you hold on because there's a reservation in the conscience. The reservation in the conscience hinders your spirituality because you know you're not right before God. So we do not come boldly to the throne of grace because of the hindrance of the unrighteousness that's in our mind. So I want to ask God, but I can't ask God because I have not yet made it right. Lord, I need your help, Lord. I need you to make a way. I need you to destroy some things, to remove some things, and to make some things over. But I can't come to God.
Right.
Because I'm not right. And everybody keeps telling me you want to be all right, but I can't feel all right because I'm not right. So Job says, the righteous shall hold on to their ways. Saints of God, you can't hold on if you're not right because you don't have the assurance that God is fighting your battles. Amen. So he said, the righteous shall hold on to their ways. And then he that has clean hands shall grow. Sometimes in church we say, how come I've been so weak? Lord, why am I where I used to be? And why don't I have the joy and the peace of mind that I used to have? You haven't been righteous. fight on. Good fight, but you gotta fight it through faith. You gotta fight a good fight, but you gotta fight it through faith. My question is, how are you fighting this afternoon? Amen. Are you fighting with the righteousness of the people? Are you fighting with the righteousness of God? People will make you feel comfortable when you're wrong. Amen. Because that's a justification for you to never get right. You know, you have to say, well, all these people tell me I'm all right. Well, you might need to check out their life. Amen. All these people that's telling you you're all right, check out their life. And find out maybe they got some skeletons in the closet that need to come out. The only way that we can be stronger and stronger is you gotta be right. Not right in the eyes of the campus. I don't see you when you leave church. I don't see you in your private moments. I don't see you at work. I don't see you in the streets. So you don't have to be right in my eyes. But you do have to be right in the eyes of God. Because he never slumbers nor sleeps. Amen. His eye is on the sparrow. Hallelujah. So I know he's watching me. So you don't have to worry about trying to be right in my eyes. Amen. God sees you wherever you are. God hears your conversations. God sees your texts. God sees your Facebook. We may not ever see it, but God sees it. So then you make an evaluation and you make an assessment spiritually. I'm short. Well, why are you short? You're not righteous in the eyes of God. Amen. The only thing that counts this afternoon is what does God think? Now, why is it important to be right? Now, you should be in good standing with the church. But if it's not real, it profiteth you. I said if it's not real, it profiteth you nothing. Hallelujah. So we're trying to figure out how we in church. Lord, have mercy. It gets weaker and weaker. When the word of God says that the upright will hold on to his ways. And because they are upright and they are clean, they will grow. The reason the church is getting weaker, pleasing the people and not God. Amen. Don't tell me what I want to hear when God knows your heart. But Ananias and Sapphira wanted to be a part of the number. They wanted the acclaim or fame with the people. So they got together and conceived a plan, but it was not true. Everybody in church is giving and doing, and not always true. Ananias and Sapphira said, you know what, we got some land. Everybody else is giving, we're going to give too. You know, I'm going to give too. But they said, we're going to give the apostles this much, but we're going to keep back. You got to be careful when you're dealing with God. Amen. And you're telling the church, I gave all. But God knows you.
Hold back.
Keep it back.
Right.
Somebody said, I'm faithful in paying my tithes. Well, I was supposed to pay $10, I was a little short, so I gave God $8. That's a small amount, because nobody can make that little bit but me. They kept back hard, and they were not true. Were they giving? Yes. God, did God tell them to give? No. It was on their own free will to give. But they were not righteous. How many in church give it? But we hold it back. Keep it back, hard. Don't want to give God all. And we say, Lord, I'm all the way with you. I praise the Lord, I shout. But you're growing weaker and weaker because you're not righteous. And your hands are not clean. So Ananias and Sapphira went one at a time before the man of God. See, when you're not right with God, you're not lying to the leadership, but you're lying. Can I get some help?
Amen.
I said, when you're not right, you're not lying to the leadership, but you're lying. Ananias, I believe, went first. Sapphira, one of them went. There's only two. I believe it was Ananias went first. And he said, well, and the apostle said, well, did you sell the land for so much? Now, a lot of times we say, well, it wasn't a big sin. Hey, when you're not right before God, you don't make a difference. How small it is. God determines the depth, the largeness, or the smallness of the sin. It's not up to us. David sinned, Saul sinned. In our eyes, David was 100 times worse. But he was forgiven. Saul only disobeyed. But he was not forgiven. Why? Because the people said David should be punished worse. But God says, I know his heart. In church, there are some things that we need to leave up to God. Because only God knows. Well, Ananias had been given all. God said, Ananias, why has Satan tempted you to lie to God? They weren't talking to the Holy Ghost, they were talking to who? Peter. But Peter represented God. So he said, you have not lied to men, but you lied to God. And this was something. The Bible said he fell down dead immediately. And then, see, they had denied it, just like, but somehow way back then, they didn't have a cell phone. So nobody was able to text Sapphira and let them know that Peter, that us, Ananias has died. Amen. They didn't have Facebook, so she didn't see him in the grave. So a little while later, Sapphira comes, and Peter only asked her one question. She said, Sapphira, did you sell the land for so much? She said, yes. Immediately she dropped. What are we saying? You got to be right in the eyes of who? God. Too many in church holding back, keeping back, and trying to represent to God, I'm giving you my all. When the Bible lets us know that God seeth not as. We supposed to have a good time in church. Man, that's a good sign. Lord, that works. We supposed to be shouting and having a good time. Shout over the hill. Amen. Because if it ain't real, God sees you where you are. So it's time for us today in church to hold on and be strong. What are you holding on? To be right. Sometimes we say some of the most ugliest and cutting things. I wasn't supposed to go here. Can I go here? Can y'all say go there? Can y'all say go there? Lord, thank you. But, I mean, church, how are you in church? See, Holy Ghost, feel, fire, baptized, got Jesus on your side. Amen. In the world, you talk like you talk. Can you cut somebody up? Paul tells the Galatian church, to brothers and sisters, we are not to bite and to devour one another. And then we wonder why my life is a muck and a mess. Amen. Because we're not right. The only way, brothers and sisters, we're going to get to heaven is we got to be
right.
Every day. I look back over my days. Amen. I look back over how I treated someone. I don't even care if it's a child. Amen. Did I react wrong to that child? Because it's important that I be
right.
Now, I'm not supposed to go here, but some of us are just too mean to children. And the Bible lets us know the angels are protecting all around the children.
Amen.
You can read about it in Matthew chapter 18 for those that don't believe it. Angels, God has dispatched an angel. that's not agape. Because God is a God of, the Bible said, while we were yet sinners, when we were unworthy to live, when we deserved anything, God died for us. God has given us so much. God has done so much for every last one of us. What have we done for him? God has given us so much. What have we given God? Not too long ago on a Friday night, we talked about how we give God anything. He tells him in Malachi chapter 1, he said, you offer me the halt, the blame, the lame, the blind. He said, you offer God something that you wouldn't even offer your own husband or wife. He said, it's the government. But just think about, brothers and sisters, we get upset. I know my wife gets upset with me. She's trying to train me. I'm working on it. All right? But if I'm going to give her the respect to her, because she should get it. And she didn't mean about it, but she let me know I need to get it right. All right? But just think, if I can give her something that she deserves and I won't give it to God, we give it to our children, our loved ones, but what are you giving God this afternoon? Amen. And we claim to be righteous in his eyes. God's eye is on the sparrow. And you have the assurance he's watching you. Amen. The reason that we're not have really another agenda behind the doors. Jesus. Not truthful and right before God. Amen. I don't care how many tithes you pay. I don't care if you pay over your tithes and offering. What are you giving God from your heart?
Amen.
Search this afternoon. What are you giving God from your
heart?
Your heart. And I can speak in tongues too. That ain't enough. I've been baptized in Jesus' name. That is not enough. God requires more than what we're giving him. Are we holding back? Now, this is salvation. How many know salvation is personal?
Yes.
That's why Paul said, you got to work out your own salvation. So what I'm asking you to do right now, search yourself. Examine yourself. How does God see you? It's even important how we see you. Because everybody looks good here to me. But see, God is a spiritual God. He looks beyond the outward appearance, and he looks at your heart. You cannot go to heaven any kind of way. To get to heaven, you got to go God's way. Psalm 24 says, the earth is the Lord and the fullness, the world and they that dwell therein. He said that he founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. But who shall? I said, who shall ascend to his holy hills? Or who shall present himself in his holy place? Verse 4 says, the only way that you're going to get to heaven, you gotta have clean hands and a pure heart. The only way this afternoon that you're gonna get to heaven, you gotta have your hands have to be clean. And your heart has to be pure. He said, they have not lifted up their heart unto vanity. In other words, we're not putting other things before God. And neither have we spoken fraudulently or deceitfully. When God examined, now we got all the excuses. How many know you can make up a lot of excuses? But God knows the truth. What's that old song that you sing? Excuses, excuses. We hear them. Now the devil here supply to get the church in. Stay away. The devil will supply you with enough excuses.
Amen.
But to go to heaven, guess what we have to please? Can we say God?
God.
Now the question that I'm going to ask every last one of us today, including myself. Amen. Who are we pleasing? Who are we trying to get the admiration from? Amen.
Amen.
Now, all of you that are single, don't y'all dress the man to get the woman, or the woman to get the man. You want to dress right, right?
Amen.
Do any of y'all dress like hobos or bums? Yeah, right?
Amen.
Because you want to get the what? Admiration. So you put forth your best foot. How is it when it comes to God, we give God that? We should say, well, God knows my heart, I just give him anything. And then we think we're going to make it to heaven. Those that are upright and hold on to their ways will grow stronger and stronger. This afternoon, as we stand, I don't know when the ministers come forward. I don't know anybody's personal life. I don't know your sacrifice. I don't know what you have given to God and what you've kept back from God. But guess what? You know. Once again, I don't know anyone's personal life naturally, but I do know it spiritually. Let me get it right. Because God gives us the spirit of discernment. So everything that's said, I'm filled with the Holy Ghost and walking according to God's standards, is not necessarily true. Today,